there anybody like me that you get really squeamish around blood? Like I just say the word blood and I get jelly in my knees, okay? I don't do blood. Interesting thing is, Jack could do blood, but you got him around a kid that was vomiting and he'd be going, ooh, ooh, ooh. I was like, what good are you? All right? But we made a great team, okay? But I to this day, I see that on TV or something like that. You just say that. I can feel my knees. I was like, it's really, okay? But, so the reason why I said that is we're going to talk a lot about blood today, all righty? We're going to talk about blood. And when you read through your Old Testament through the New Testament, it has a lot of blood stuff in it. Oh, there goes my knees. Oh, my gosh. Okay, no, I'm kidding. But there's a lot of things about the blood. And just about every book in the Old Testament has to do with blood, has to do with the sacrifice, which has to do with blood that was going to point to something for us. Yeah, all right. And because I know you all read your Bibles all the time. Do you ever read the stories about King Solomon, King David? Like, they sacrificed tons of animals on a special occasion, And if they were to pull that shenanigans today, we'd have a protest. You can't get away with that, all right? But here's the thing. God had given them a reason for that sacrifice, all those animal sacrifices, and it had to do with the blood. Everybody say the blood. All right. And so when you understand these sacrifices and the blood, you're not going to get mad about what they did. But by the way, we're not sacrificing any animals today. Okay? And let me tell you something else. That has to do with old covenant. We don't do that today. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right? So years ago, a friend of mine was Pastor Larry Huggins, was telling this story that his son and he were in something like Home Depot, and they had picked up in their cart a sheet of metal, and his kid, you know, kids, wiggly, fell, and it sliced his tongue. Okay, there goes my knees, all right? And Larry said this scripture, open up to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. This was my first lights on to what this is all about. Y'all, at Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Real easy to find. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the creature is in the blood. Or else we could say there's life in the blood. So this little boy slit his tongue. Didn't slide it off. And he's going, there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I read the scripture a couple years later, okay? So there's life in the blood. If you're a critter, you got life. If you're a human being, you got life because you've got blood. You don't got blood, you're in trouble, right? So there's life in the blood. Now, the second part of that, it says, and I, God, this is God saying, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar, all right? Old Testament. That side of the Bible, the old covenant, okay, that was the way their sins were covered. They had animal sacrifices and blood, all right? Matter of fact, go to Malachi, and God had given them directions about animal sacrifices and about sacrificing animals for the Lord, for the blood, and they were like, I'm not following your directions. I know more than you. And they were giving him animals that were diseased and blemished. And God kind of got ticked at him, and he calls him on the carpet. He says, listen, I gave you directions, and I want a lamb without spot, without blemish, all right? Okay, let's read the rest of that scripture. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes the atonement for one's life. Alrighty. So we're not going to talk really about Old Testament sacrifices, but I'm telling you, this is such a vital subject, and I probably haven't taught on this in like 10 years, but we are going to talk about the blood. We're going to talk about whose blood? Jesus's blood. We're going to talk about why his blood was shed. We're going to talk about this because there's so many benefits that we have, but we got to understand what the blood's all about. So blood, here we go. Let's pray before we move on. Father, we just come to you. this morning, and Father, you know, my knees are a little squiggly, but Lord, we just come to you, Father, and I pray that you would open everybody's eyes just like you did mine. You'd open our hearts just like you did mine, and that you would download, Holy Spirit, information and revelation on how vital the blood of Jesus is for us. And I thank you, Father, that we will catch it, apply it, and be changed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you got your Bibles? We got a suitcase of them in the back if you want a Bible, but open up to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Peter is a New Testament writer of the Bible, okay? He's not an Old Testament writer, and I'm probably going to say this three different times. We do not live under the Old Covenant, okay? The Old Covenant's great. Read it. I love reading Genesis. It's like, wow, stuff going on. But we do not live under the Old Covenant. We live under the New. New shoes are better than old shoes. New cars are better than old cars, okay? New covenant is what we live under, and it's better. Everybody say, it is so much better. Yeah, amen. All right, here we go. Y'all at 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus or Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Okay. How were you redeemed? How was I redeemed? It just told you. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And if you're taking notes, I probably should have said this one first. What does that word mean? Write this down. Redeem means to be purchased out of. To be purchased out of. To be purchased out of. All right? So Jesus has purchased you out of sin. Aren't you glad? Man, and he's redeemed you and purchased you and he's released you out of sin. I am so glad. Amen. Now, before, my life, I was in bondage of sin, but he purchased me out of it and released me so I can live such a better life. Anybody living a better life since he's purchased you? Man. Okay. So we're talking about the blood, but let me ask you a question. What, now we just read this in 1 Peter 1, 19, but what makes the blood precious? All right? Now, if you're hungry, starving, food is precious. If you're thirsty, water is precious, right? If you're living in extreme poverty, things that are supplied to you become precious. So, if you're hungry, food's precious. If you're thirsty, water's precious. If you're in poverty, things supplied are precious. So write this down. Sin makes the blood of Jesus precious. Man, just close your eyes. Sin has made the blood of Jesus precious. It is so precious. It is so precious, all right? And that's why, as a believer, all right, as someone says, I'm born again, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, okay? That's why once you've been set free, you know, you can't look at people that are still not set free, not receive Jesus, and think, man, I am so much better than them. They really are just a bunch of mess-ups. You can't be thinking that. Okay? Don't be thinking that, all right? Let me tell you a story. A friend of mine told it. They had gone, she and her husband had gone to a conference for believers, Christians, and it was being held in Las Vegas in this big hotel because they had a big convention center. So they had gone to the meetings, and they had just finished the evening meetings, and they're staying actually in the hotel. So they go get on the elevator, and so they get in the elevator, and next thing you know, a whole bunch of drunks come in. Yeah, they've been in Vegas, okay? And they just reek of alcohol. They're just breathing alcohol breath all over you, okay? And my friend was telling me this story about, she's ratting on her husband. She's telling the story about her husband. And he's like thinking, you know, kind of thinking, man, you're a bunch of drunks. What's the matter with you? And, you know, he's kind of getting this attitude. You know, we don't get attitudes like that. But he's getting this attitude like, gosh darn, you know, you guys are pathetic. And the Lord spoke to him And he says, that was you, but I saved you. All right. And listen, if you're walking with Jesus, you should be, Father, thank you. I am thankful. I am grateful for the blood that was purchased and saved me. You know, and by the way, if you ever have time to hang out with me and pray, pretty much that's how I start my prayer. Father God, I'm just so thankful. I never forget that. Okay, good things here. All righty. So today, we're going to talk about six things that the blood has done for you. And I'm telling you, when you start to understand this, you are going to live bigger and jump higher, okay? So, and I could have done a whole bunch of these, but I'm only going to do six. But I'm going to show you, or really Jason is going to put, these are books that have been in my library. Some of them have turned yellow, but they're all about the blood. And if you want to know more, because I'm only going to give you six, here's the first one. I think I'm going to do this as a grow group. This is by Joyce Myers. The word, the name, and the blood. Next one, please. Oh, this one, the pages are falling out, okay? This one I stole out of Grandma's library. It's called The Blood Covenant by Trimble, okay? Next one, please. Excellent book, excellent. Oh, my wife, I read this every year. I read this book every year. It's The Blood Covenant, and it's by E.W. Kenyon. And it's a little mini book. And I'm telling you, it's something you get in you. All right, next one, please. Oh, I was just talking about Pastor Larry Huggins, The Blood Speaks. It's probably the first book I read about the blood that just, like, wow. Okay, and he tells that story about his son slicing his tongue. Is that it? Jason, we're good? So we have another one? No, we're good? Thank you. Oh, one more. Oh, you're not allowed to have favorites, but that's my new favorite. This is Mark Hankins and The Bloodline of a Champion, The Power of the Blood of Jesus. So these are books that I have just, some I've had 30 years, 10 years, 15, great books. And go get them if you want to know more. Alrighty, so question, what has the blood done for you? Well, let me tell you, okay, here we go. Number one, If you're taking notes, write this down. The blood has purchased us. The blood has purchased us. And the Bible talks all about how the blood has purchased you. You were bought with a price. The blood of Jesus has purchased you, okay? Now, when I first got saved, someone said, you need Jesus. And I knew I needed Jesus. My life had just blown up. I had just had the worst of the worst happen. And I was like, okay, I need Jesus. And I just prayed this really simple prayer. Father God, I come to you. I confess that. I didn't even think I said I confess I'm a sinner. I just knew I was a mess. I confess I'm a mess. And I asked Jesus into my life. But most people, if you've been like me, when you first get saved, you don't know anything about his blood purchased you, okay? Later on you find out, especially later on if you're hanging out at church here, okay? But listen, you may not have understood all that, but the day you prayed and asked Jesus to become Savior, that day, it happened. You've been purchased. Everybody say, I was purchased, all right? Yeah, and you were purchased by a big old price. It's called the blood of Jesus. So let me give you a scripture to back that up. Open up to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Do you know who the author? Okay, Bible. In children's ministry, if you answer the question, you got a lollipop, okay? So here you go, but I don't have lollipops. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. You get a lollipop, okay? Sometimes I just do this for you, so you can get lollipops, okay? So Luke wrote the book of Acts, but the section we're going to read is Paul is speaking, okay? Paul is speaking. So you're all at Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Okay, let me give you a background. Paul is talking like it is getting really tough to be a Christian. There is so much persecution, and he is talking to a pastor's conference. He's talking to pastors, and he's saying, hey, listen to what's going to, listen, pay attention, all right? So he has made you overseers, pastors, to shepherd the church, to pastor the church, which he purchased with his own blood. The blood of Jesus that came dripping down on that cross was for you and I 200 years ago. That blood was for you and I, all right? So you were purchased. You were purchased, all righty? Now, some people think, oh, you are so overboard, Pastor D, because I'll say, you know, this statement, that blood has purchased everybody. Everybody. Oh, what do you mean everybody? You mean it's purchased, that blood purchased people who are Muslims? Yep. That blood purchased, that blood that was shed for Jesus purchased the lives of anybody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. Everybody, everybody, everybody. And but the thing is, they don't know, okay? I didn't know this. I didn't know that I was bought. I didn't know I was purchased, okay? So we are the ones that tell them. You guys have an important thing to do. Alrighty, now. So number one, what has the blood done for us? It has purchased us. It has purchased us. And a whole bunch of scriptures. I'm just going to leave it at that. But here's the second thing what the blood of Jesus has done. If you're taking notes, write that down. Write this down. The blood of Jesus purifies us. Anybody have a Brita water container? You know what I'm talking about? It purifies the water. It filters it out, okay? So keep that in your mind. But the blood of Jesus purifies us, okay? Now, be honest, how many of you have sinned since you received Jesus? How many of you have sinned more than once since you received Jesus? How many of you, I'm going to pray for you. No, how many of you have received, sinned three times since you, yeah, three times and you're out? Okay, no. But here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. Listen, we need the blood to purify us daily, every day. All right? It's here to purify us, not just on salvation, but daily, all right? So check out Hebrews. We're going to spend a lot of time in Hebrews. Matter of fact, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is a really good book that talks about the blood and ties together the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we're going to stay a lot there, but, you know, go digging into Hebrews, all right? So Hebrews chapter 9, here we go. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. According to the law, that's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, according to the law, almost all things were purified by blood, all right? So in the Old Testament, how did they get purified? It was by blood. All those sacrifices talks about being purified, all righty? Now, keep reading. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, all right? So there's no remission, there's no forgiveness of sin without blood. Without blood. Everybody say blood. All right. Now, think about blood. Everybody, you don't get lollipops, but answer the question. What color is blood? Okay. And someone was going to do some technical things on me, but okay. It's blood. So when I think about the blood, I don't think that it cleanses. As a matter of fact, the other day I was chopping things, and I cut the tip of my finger, and I didn't know, and I was wearing this long sleeve, and next thing I know, I got a stain. Right? I got a stain on my shirt. So I don't typically think that the blood cleanses, but it does. It actually does. As a matter of fact, the blood carries nutrients. Well, let me tell you some other things, because I looked it up. The blood carries nutrients to your body. The blood carries oxygen to your body. The blood also takes out waste. Okay? So that's the natural. But here's this. Listen to this. Ready? The blood, every time you mess up, come on, anybody mess up? Anybody have a day, like morning to night, you're like, oh my gosh, that was one messed up day. Dear Jesus, forgive me, okay? But the blood is there that to purify you and forgive you when you have those mess ups. And some people, not us, right? Not us. Some people are like, oh man, I messed up. Gosh, I'm such a mess. You know, God can't forgive me because I messed up, because I sinned. No. I mean, or yes, I mean, no, yes, the blood of Jesus, okay, I forgot my nose, and yes, the blood of Jesus is here to purify you when you mess up, when you sin. Aren't you glad? Listen, I am so glad, praise God. Now, you all know this, but turn over to 1 John 1:7, here we go. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus purifies us, praise God, when we mess up. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and the word of God really is what they're referring to, if we're walking in the word of God, okay, we have fellowship one with another, and this is where I'm getting at, and the blood of Jesus, what? Cleanses us, okay, from what? Some certain kinds, All. You got it. Okay. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I am so glad. I'm so glad. All right. Now, some of you come to church every week and you are just sad and mad and feel guilty because you messed up. You can't even get your hands lifted up because, but listen, that's what the blood's for. Go into the blood. Go say, Father God, I just thank, you know, I messed up and I thank you for the blood and I thank you that I can, I ask you for forgiveness and you forgive me, okay? So the blood, it cleanses us, purifies us, okay, when we mess up. And hey, listen, just don't do it when you come to church. How about Monday? Stayed up too late, ran around all day, all weekend, and Monday you get up and you are a grumpy, whatever, grouch, okay? And through your day, because you're so grumpy and I'm so tired and I just didn't get enough of this, and you are start treating people not too nice, okay? None of you ever do that, snapping an opinion, all right, okay? How about you're like, oh, God, like halfway through the day, hopefully, but before you go to bed, God, I need the blood. Father, I come to you and I confess I was just treating people terribly, and I thank you that the blood purifies me, cleanses me, forgives me. Anybody like the blood? Man, I like the blood. Okay, so what does the blood do? It purchased us and it purifies us. All right, you ready for number three? Here we go. You might not know this, but write this down. The blood establishes God's promises for us. It establishes God's promises for us, all right? Now, so we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Oh, I think I went too far. Come back. Here we go. The blood establishes God's promises. All of God's promises are what? Yes and amen. All right, here we go. Hebrews 8:6. But now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also our mediator. That's the go-between, heaven and us, okay? He's the go-between of a better covenant which was established on better promises, okay? Again, I'm going to say it again. You don't live under the old covenant, okay? You live under the new, but the old covenant, it was all about telling you, guilty, you're guilty, everybody's guilty. That's what the old covenant did, all right? Okay, and matter of fact, what's Romans 3? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you know what happens after that? But that's not true. That's old, okay? That's old. And once you ask Jesus Christ into your life, I am now not a sinner. I am purchased. I am purified. And this is my promise. I'm now new and clean. Everybody say, I like the new. I'm telling you, I like the new, all righty? Now, again, before I accepted Jesus, I was a sinner. After I accept Jesus, this blood says you are not a sinner. So there's certain denominations that will always say, I'm a sinner. I'm just a poor old sinner. Well, maybe you haven't asked Jesus Christ into your life, but the moment you ask Jesus and receive him, you are not a sinner. Now, anybody mess up? Anybody mess up till they got to church this morning? Man, Jack and I would have wars on the drive to church, and he'd pull over and say, we're not going to church until we pray. It's like, we're going to be late. Everybody's going to be mad at us. They're like, no, we're praying. So, so we would pray, and we would do, Father God, we messed up. We are arguing. We're in sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. Let's go to church, all righty? None of you have ever done that. If I see you on the side of the road on the way in, I'll go, I know what they're doing. It's the blood. Hallelujah. All right. But anyway, so you are no longer a sinner, but do I sin and mess up? I'll follow you around for a day and I'll answer that question, right? Yeah, we do. But hey, so if you have this thought or this bad teaching in you, I'm a sinner because I messed up, so I'm going to have to receive Jesus again. And then tomorrow I mess up, I'm going to say, and you say, I have to receive Jesus again. No. And that is why, especially when I do kids, and I lead a little child to the Lord, I said, get me a Bible. And we write on July 6th, I actually memorized Cassie's because she was getting saved again and again. And I write, yeah. So I wrote in her Bible on July 6, 19 something or other, Cassie received Jesus. She is no longer a sinner. I write this whole thing out. She doesn't know how to get saved and saved and saved, okay? So yes, I was a sinner, but now I'm not, okay? Praise God. Oh, by the way, if you sin, you know, I've believed, I've asked Jesus to come into my life. I'm purchased, I'm purified, okay? And I sin and I mess up and I do something stupid or say something stupid, okay? God's not walking out on you. He's not going to walk out of you. Matter of fact, what did he say? I'll never leave you or forsake you, right? And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. He's not ditching out on you, okay? But I come in, and that's what the blood, man, I get just, that's what the blood does for you, okay? Where are we? We're at Hebrews chapter 8. Let's read verse 7. For if the first covenant, you know, it's on that side of the Bible, the old covenant, if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. In other words, the first covenant that God made on the old, you know, over here, was not to last forever. God was sending Jesus so we could have a new covenant, because new is better, all right? Turn over to chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9. This is fun. Hebrews chapter 9, all righty? Verse 11, Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, and with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, but with the blood of goats, but not with the blood of goats. So he's talking about the old covenant where they just would sacrifice animals and animals and animals, and he said, Jesus Christ did not come for that, all right? Jesus Christ didn't come from that. So let's read the next part. But with his blood, he entered the most holy of holy place once and for all. Jesus died once. Jesus died for all. How many times did Jesus die? How many, for who? All. He died once for all. All righty. Praise God. Let's read the second part. Having obtained an eternal redemption. Okay? You know what that means? It's forever. I like forever. Forever redemption, all righty? So so I have and you have a redemption. We've been purchased, we've been purified and all that forever. Once you ask Jesus, it was done forever. You just have to receive it. But it was done forever, forever, okay? Accept. I love accept. How about you go, I am just rejecting Jesus. I am rejecting God. I don't believe this anymore, and I'm walking away from that, okay? You just gave up your forgiver. You gave up your forever. But some people say, Pastor D, I've done the unpardonable. No, you didn't, because if you're telling me about it, you didn't, all right? That didn't happen to you. You still have forever, even if you mess up, even if you don't even get out the parking lot today and you say something, okay? You have a forever redemption. Everybody say forever. Forever. All right. Whew. And you know what? And as long as your heart's like, and some days I have to be, I am so much better, but there have been days it takes me 24 hours to get it together. All right, none of you have ever gone to bed with your spouse hanging off the side of the bed? And the incident happened in the morning? Okay, I probably did about 20 years of that. But the next morning, I made sure, Father God, I am so sorry, what an idiot. Father, I messed up, I shouldn't have said this, and I thank you, I ask you, and I thank you for forgiveness, and wham, okay? Praise God. All right, I don't know where I am on my notes. Here we go. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay. Did we do verse 13? Oh, good. Here, this is where I want to go. For if the blood of the bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit God offered himself without spot to God, cleanses our conscience from dead works and to serve a living God. All righty. I'm going to go to the left turn, but I'm not lost, okay? Have you ever watched these TV shows where you just swipe, swipe, and they're talking about Jesus? Like Jesus was married. Or better yet, Jesus wasn't married. Like, we dug up bones. I've watched these. They're just ridiculous. Yeah, Miss Pat. They go, oh, we dug up bones. These are Jesus's bones. And next to Jesus's bones, there were baby bones. And next to baby's bones, there's women's bones, because we know how to tell bones, okay? So, you know, Jesus, he was messing around. Anybody ever read this stuff? Don't. And they're saying he wasn't spotless, all right? Gets quiet here. Shh. You're going to do the punchline. Knock it off. Okay. Guys, how many of you know that's not true? Why do you know it's not true? Because the scriptures say it's not true. We just read it. And you guys either believe it's true, believe the scripture's true, or you don't believe it. But it's not true, okay? Jesus is the spotless lamb. And because he was the spotless lamb, he was the perfect sacrifice. His blood was perfect. And I am so glad that he was the spotless lamb, because now I can overcome sin because of him. Hallelujah. Goofy stuff. And you know these people that make these things? You know who's behind it. You know why the enemy's behind it. He wants to get people confused and not believe in Jesus, okay? So goofy, goofy, goofy. All right. Okay, so his blood purchased us. His blood purifies us. His blood establishes promises to us. Here's number four, okay? And I love this one. His blood, guess what, gives us peace with God. I love this, all right? Now, I now have peace with God. God's not mad at me. God's not my enemy. I am not in conflict with God. I now have peace with God because of the blood of Jesus. All right? Okay, and you have peace with God. I have peace with God because of the blood of Jesus. And let me give you a good scripture. Colossians 1. Here we go. Colossians 1, verse 20. And through him, Jesus, God reconciled everything back to himself. That's us. He made peace with everything in heaven, on earth. Anybody on earth today? He made peace with you, all right? And by means of Christ's blood on the cross, okay? So when Jesus's blood was shed on the way to Calvary and on the cross, it meant we have peace with God. That blood gave us peace with God. We are not enemies. We have access now to come into the Holy of Holies. And you know what? Sometimes I'll hear people say this. Christians say this. God's mad at me. God's after me. I heard that a couple weeks. God's after me. You know, he's just causing all sorts of bad things to happen in my life. Wait. What kind of God do you serve? I'm not serving that, okay? Listen, his blood gave us peace with God. Everybody say, his blood has given me peace. The word peace, Old Testament, New Testament, means the same thing, shalom. I think Pastor Sherry said it, nothing missing, nothing broken. There's a lot of other things, but that's the one. I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life, his blood has given me peace and nothing brick. I don't have to live a broken life anymore because of the blood, because of the peace. God's on my side. He's doing great things. All righty. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Here we go. How do I do this one? Yeah, okay. For the law having a shadow of the good things to come. Okay, so the law was actually pointing. Okay? For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with the same sacrifice which they offered continually year by year make those who approach them perfect. Okay. So yes, they had animal sacrifices. Yes, but it wasn't going to make them perfect, but the blood of Jesus would. All right? The day you receive Jesus Christ. Okay, let me back up. You are a three-part being. What? I have a spirit, okay? I have my mind, will, my soul, my mind, will, and emotion, and I live in this body. Okay? The day you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, what's made brand new? My spirit. The real me is made brand new, made perfect. Everybody say it's perfect. Okay? Now, I still have this thing up here. And my flesh, like, sometimes just wants to sin, okay? And that's why we teach on crucify your flesh, redeem your body, renew your mind to the word of God, okay? But the real you is your spirit, and it's made perfect. Say, I'm perfect. Say, I'm brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new species of being, new, all right? So, every day you get up, everybody say, I'm new. I'm brand new. Okay, I asked Jesus in my life, I'm brand new. Now, what happens if you mess up? I sin. I did something. Does that mean you're an old? No, I'm still brand new. My spirit, man, I'm made new and perfect, all righty? Now, verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? He's asking a question. For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, all those Old Testament, they're sacrificing animals and lambs and all that stuff, there is a reminder of sin every year. Okay, the Old Testament would remind you of your sin. Yep. And then you'd have to come back next year because it's going to remind you of your sin. The New Testament, the New Covenant, okay? Listen, you know what it reminds you of? The blood. And what's the blood do? It purifies it. It's purchased you. It's given you peace. So the New Covenant is going to remind you of the blood and what it's done, all right? I'm so excited. Verse 4, let's finish this. For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and the goats and the lambs could take away sin. Again, we live on the good side, but the Old Testament, the Old Covenant would just cover your sin. And then you had to come back next year because it was just covering you. Just picture a blanket over you, okay? All right? But the New Covenant, because of Jesus' blood, takes away your sin. Right? Washes you what? White as snow. I love it. It's a good song. All righty. So, just picture God with the old covenant. And he's got, all he sees is darkness. All he sees is sin. But the day you receive Jesus because of the new covenant, he takes those glasses off and he sees you pure, cleansed, forgiven, holy, blameless, and I can go on because I usually do this to myself, okay? All righty? So, yeah, but Pastor D, you know, I'm still struggling in the areas. I know, that's why we get purified. You go, Lord Jesus, I just really talked. Did you hear what I said? I shouldn't have said that. I just confess that as my sin, and I thank you that I'm forgiven, okay? Praise God. Praise God. Do you know, what's it? Santa Claus is sitting up there making a list who's naughty and naughty and nice, okay? Some people think God's got the top 10 list up in heaven and the big, bad, and the dirty. And if you do the big, bad, and dirty, you're not forgiven because you did that. He does not have a list. Anything, ever. He forgives you. That's what the blood's all about, all right? Just thought I'd give you a visual, all righty? Okay, so the blood purchased us, purifies us, establishes his promises, and gives us peace with God. Okay, number 5. Only have one more after this. The blood gives us nearness to God. The blood gives us nearness to God. Okay. I love Ephesians. I love every scripture. I usually go, this is my favorite. But here we go. Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all at Ephesians chapter 2. Here we go. But now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away, everybody say far away, yeah, from God, but now you have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. Once I was far away, listen, I knew I was far away, but I asked Jesus to come into my life to forgive me of my sins, and now I am near to him. I am united with him, all right? And you know, some people feel like they're far away, you know, and they think God ran all the way over here. God's here. It's usually you kind of went over here, and he says, draw near to me, all right? All righty, so let me talk about this a little bit. The old covenant, God came down, and he said, I want you to build a tabernacle. I call that the portable church, okay, on wheels. He came down and he said, I want you, and he gave directions to build a tabernacle, a church, a portable church. And he gave directions on how to build it. He gave directions on how many rooms it had and who could go into certain rooms, right? Anybody have company over and you're like, you lock the door, don't go into that room. It's because it's a mess. But his wasn't a mess. Okay, just want to say that. Okay. All right. So he would say, so he had them build this tabernacle, very specific, and then he said, I want you to tell the priest that the priests are the only one that could go into that room. The holies of holies, the priest. And he gave specific times and who's of the priests could do that, all right? Now, you know what else he told those priests? He says, I'm going to tell you what to wear. I would love someone to tell me what to wear on Sunday morning. You should see my room. It's just blown up with dresses and clothes, okay? But God was so cool, he told them exactly what to wear. A robe, a special robe they'd wear. And the robes that when they went into the Holy of Holies had little jingle bells on it. Jingle bells, okay? Okay, so it had bells on it. And the priest that went into the Holy of Holies on a specific day, and a specific priest, not only had this special clothing, this robe that had jingle bells, but you know what they did? They tied a rope around his ankle, a big long rope. Okay, now while he's in there, because God told him what to do, when they're in the Holy of Holies, you know the one, and they're doing things, and all of a sudden, you're not hearing jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. Okay, and all of them hear, thud. And then you know what they do? They pull the rope. They're yanking the guy out, okay? So you should go to children's ministry. This is the coolest story, I'll tell you what. But it's in your Bible, okay? And you can read this. I think it's in Exodus. Not sure. I have to look it up. Okay, now, so if they didn't hear the bells, they heard thud, they take the rope and they grab hold of that rope. They had a hold of the rope and they just start yanking the guy out, okay, because he died. Okay? And the reason why he died, he did something wrong in the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was the presence of God. He did something wrong in the presence of God. He did something wrong in the presence of God. You and I probably would be dead a couple of times because, you know, we mess up. Okay? We would have been thud. And they'd be yanking it out in the old covenant, all righty? So, because, and you know what? I am still, on the inside, my spirit's brand new, it's perfect. But this part over here is not perfect yet, till I get to heaven, okay? So I'd probably be thud on the ground and yanking me out. You'd probably be thud on the ground and yanking you out, okay? Because he did something wrong, all right? But it's the blood, but listen, the blood of Jesus has made me perfect. The blood of Jesus has made me perfect, all right? And the blood of Jesus made me perfect so that I can go into the throne room of God. I get to go in, and now in the presence of God, in the throne room of God where I can get help and mercy in time of need, okay? The blood of Jesus has made you perfect. You're not thud, okay? The blood of Jesus made you perfect, and you can go into the presence of God anytime, anywhere, anywhere. So why did these Old Testament priests go thud on the ground, okay? Well, God gave them directions. He gave them procedures. I love procedures. I love procedure manuals. I just like make my happy, all right? But he gave them directions on what to do. And they didn't follow the directions, okay? They were told. Now, it's one thing not to know, okay? Okay, but they were told exactly what they were to do in the presence of God, all right? So if you didn't do exactly what God told you to do, thud, no more jingle bells, and they yank you out. Alrighty, now, how would you like to be one of the priests that are outside yanking them out, and then the one of the guys goes, who's next? Come on, who's next? Okay, all right, listen. We have the blood of Jesus that we have been drawn near to him. We are with him. We are united with him. I don't have to fear about thud. Amen? All right, I know I'm being... Okay, number five. Is this my last one? One, two, three, four, five. Oh, no, I have six. Okay, five. Okay, these kind of smushed together, so hang in there. I'm going to read, closing with Revelations. This is the last scripture I'm going to read, I think. Let me see. Revelations, open up your book. By the way, you know, a Revelation says, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll be blessed. Says it in the first chapter, all right? If you hear it and you take heed to it and you read it, you'll be blessed. So if you're having a yucky day, go read the book of Revelation. Okay, no. All right, okay, lollipop time. Who wrote the book of Revelation? John the Apostle. Praise God, y'all got lollipops. Okay, John is writing from where? He's actually on Patmos. He's in prison on an island. It is not a resort island, okay? He is in prison on an island when he's writing this. And it's tough, okay? And that's where they put everybody they didn't know what to do with, okay? And so John is in prison on this island, and he's writing this. So y'all at, here we go. Revelation chapter 12, here we go. Revelation 12, verse 10. This is John writing. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ have come. For the accuser, everybody say accuser. Put on the brakes. I want you to get this. You and I are not being accused by God. God's not mad at you. He's not accusing you. Okay, that's not our God, all right? But there is an accuser, and his name is the devil, okay? And he accuses you, all right? Okay, and some people think, well, I don't really know if there's a devil. Well, yes, there is. And if you believe there's God, there's also a devil, all righty? So, and matter of fact, remember in John chapter 10:10, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly, right? You all know that? You know what the verse before said? And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, guess who the thief is? Oh, you guys get lollipops. The devil, the accuser, okay? So there is a devil, all right? All right, so he's the accuser. Let me ask you this question. Today, now, where does the accuser accuse you? I probably said that differently. In my brain, in my thoughts. He's doing this, right? Such as, he loves to accuse you. And it's not, he shows up in your face, okay? He shows up, he starts putting thoughts in your heads. He goes, you know, you remember when you messed up? And you went to God and asked God to forgive you, okay? And you prayed that prayer. But you know when you get to heaven, God's going to talk to you about that. No, right? You're forgiven, okay? You are forgiven, washed clean, okay? And when you get to heaven, God's not going to bring up the list, okay? Say, I'm forgiven. Shh, I'm washed in the blood. Woo! Okay, let's keep reading. Alrighty, here we go. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Everybody say, cast down. The devil can't accuse you before God. Why? You just said the last two words. He's been cast down. Amen. The devil can't accuse you before God because he's been cast down, cast out of heaven, okay? Now, anybody ever read the book of Job? You want to hear stupidity to the max and just ignorance all over the place? So I took this class. I think it was a religion class in college. I wasn't even born again. And I picked the book of Job. A joke. I don't even remember what grade I got, okay? And by the way, the book of Job is one of the earliest books written. So it's not halfway through the book, okay? Chronologically, it is not there. So anyway, and you'll get that, okay? So the book of Job is about Job, and Job has a covenant. Everybody say he has a covenant? With God. He does. He has a covenant. And all of a sudden, the devil comes in, and he does this to Job and this to his family, okay? And then this is all in the book of Job, okay? Then he's got all these buddies, and they come in, and they're like, Job, meep, 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 meep. And then his wife comes in, meep, 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 okay? And he's just getting hit all over the place, all right? The book of Job. And then God shows up in the last three chapters. There's like 40 plus chapters. And so they're all and all this stuff. And then God shows up in the last three chapters. And you know what God says? Shut up. Y'all just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't got no wisdom. Just shut up. Okay, so that's God coming on the scene. I know. Miss Lucy Erica told me once, you're not a bad word with kids. But there's no kids in here, okay? So So Job had peace with God, and all of a sudden the enemy shows up and he's causing things to burn and people to die and stuff like that. But the end of the story, Job does good. Job does great. He gets more than what he had, just really wonderful, okay? But it all came about because the accuser of the brethren went up to heaven and said, "Hey, you see that guy of yours down there? I'm going to go after him, okay? Now, guys, that's all done with. Because what? The accuser's been cast out of heaven, okay? So he's not going to come up to God and say, "You know, you see Pastor D over there? I'm going to go mess with her, you know?" No, the devil's been cast out. He's not up in heaven, all righty? But he loves to do this, all right? Where am I going with this? So he likes to put thoughts in your head, all righty? Let's keep reading. Oh, my gosh, I can do this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11, they overcame him, the devil, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. In other words, they would die for the gospel. They weren't going to be one of these, "Well, you know, I'm getting a little persecuted. I think I'm just going to compromise." No, they were going to die for the gospel. They were going to die for Jesus, for the blood, what Jesus had done for them. How many of you would love to, could someone come up and say, "Hey, you willing to die for the gospel?" I'm like, it's a win-win, right? You know, first off, I would say, "Hey," I would probably say, "Hey, I'm going to live and not die and proclaim the glories of God." But then, even if I did die, guess where I'm going? Guess where you're going if you've received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? I'm going to be in the presence of God. So it's a win-win, all righty? Okay. So I'm going to say this, and it sounds really crazy, but the biggest fear that most people have is the fear of death. And I have been with people, not at their deathbed, but before, and they want to, "What happens when I die? What happens when I die?" If you can overcome that fear, but we have the answers to that, you can overcome everything, okay? So the biggest fear most people have is, "What if I die? What if I die?" Okay? Well, if you can overcome that, I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to live and not die, or I'm going to live forever in heaven, righty? Okay? So, I'm going to jump to number 6. I'm going to finish up here because this is, okay. The blood, the blood causes you to overcome. Number 6, the blood of Jesus, right, causes you to overcome, right? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, all right? So you have to make sure you're exercising the blood every day. Stupid stuff come happen, right? Just things happen. Exercise the blood. Okay, I do that for myself, you know, but how about I'm going to exercise it for myself. Father, I thank you that you purchased me through the blood of Jesus. I thank you I'm purchased. Father, I just thank you that I have been purified. When I sin, I thank you I've been made clean, holy, righteous, blameless for you, and I just say I'm sorry, okay? But the second part of that is by the word of their testimony. And typically we think, you know, somebody comes up front and says they have a testimony and they share what Jesus has done. That's good. I love that, especially when they really tell you what Jesus has done in their life, okay? But that's not talking about this. How about we do this every day of our life, every place we go, and we start testifying about Jesus. Now, please, you walk up to this person at work, and they're just doing bad stuff, and they've got a bad attitude, and they're stomping all over the place, and you walk up because you're a Christian, and you want to live the Christian light, and you go, "Blessed be the name of Jesus. I've been purchased by the blood. I've been redeemed by the blood. I've been blah, blah, blah." They're going to think you're off your rocker, okay? So this happened to me a couple years back. My cousin from California came to visit, and I just finished, so I gave him the keys to the house. Matter of fact, Jesse was there, so this is quite a few. I said, "Here, my son's here, here's the keys to the house, come into my house," okay? So she and her husband come, they're traveling across country with a little travel trailer. They come into my house, and then about 30 minutes later, I show up because I just finished a funeral, and I've got my little pearls on and my little black dress, which is not so little anymore, but it was little then, and my cousin's going, "What'd you do?" I said, "Well, I was asked to officiate a funeral," and she goes, "What are you talking about?" And I gave her my testimony. And I didn't say, "You know, I've been purchased by the blood. I've been purified by the blood." I just told her my story. testified with my story. Got real quiet in that room, like the hairs on your arm were standing up. And I just gave her the whole, my story, my testimony of the gospel. And she was good. It was good. Okay, how do I wrap this up? Praise God. I want to pray over everybody. Amber's going to come on up, okay? I'm going to pray over everybody, and then we're going to sing an oldie but goodie. I didn't grow up in a denomination that sang this song. It was years later that I learned it, but we're going to sing. So let me pray for you, everybody. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I thank you for everybody in this place, everybody that's listening online, Father. I thank you, Father, that when they walk out today, they have an understanding, they have a knowledge. The blood of Jesus is so precious. Father, I thank you that they understand that the blood has cleansed them. And if there's somebody here right now that they've never received Jesus, a Father, and the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you are speaking to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I want us to sing an old song, okay? Gonna pop that up there, all right? And I told Amber, I said, I'm just gonna close my eyes and I'm gonna sing it. Sing it with me, because I'm not looking at you. Ready? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.